Our scripture reading this evening is taken first of all from Jeremiah chapter 17. And reading verses 19 to 27. And then just a couple of verses from Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. But first of all, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 19 to 27. And we're going to continue our reflections upon the fourth commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy. Thus the Lord said to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry your burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear, nor receive instruction. And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work in it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah, and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from the lowland, from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. And then reading also from Isaiah chapter 58. And verses 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, I trust that the simple reading of these two passages from these two major prophets in the Old Testament is enough to make the point that God took very seriously the Sabbath day command. It wasn't something that was on the periphery and the Lord, you know, wasn't too concerned whether they kept the Sabbath day or not. But rather that these passages make it very clear that God viewed the Sabbath day observance as a very accurate pulse of the faith of God's people. It was a means by which it was made clear the condition of their hearts towards the Lord. And so the Lord, if we can speak that way, doesn't mince words when it comes to addressing the Sabbath day. And so makes it clear to them the consequences. And really the conclusions that could be very truthfully made in light of the way that the people treated the Sabbath. So that if you disregarded the Sabbath, then it was very clear that you weren't honoring the Lord. You didn't take Him seriously. And therefore, the consequences that God threatens should be of no surprise to those people, nor in fact to the people watching these things. And I trust that we can easily make the transition to our own time and see very clearly that this is still a message that needs to resonate. It's still a message that needs to be declared, because the focus in terms of the Sabbath day has lessened. No one is saying, and no one is arguing, that the church values the Sabbath command and lifts it high and honors it and is very zealous for it. That's not to say that people in the church don't value the Sabbath and they don't seek to keep the Sabbath and they don't love and delight in the Sabbath. But generally speaking, the world would not say that. The world would not say that for the church, the Sabbath day is such a holy thing. In fact, I dare say, the world would say that they have won the battle in regards to the Sabbath. And when it is that in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, generally, that you have to have, or you have had, societies for the preservation of the Sabbath, that tells you something. That tells you something. That tells us that within the church itself, people feel that the Sabbath isn't taken seriously and that they have to make a cause out of it in order to speak to the church at large and to warn them that something is drastically wrong. So if we don't think anything is wrong and that the Sabbath day is well understood and well observed, then I dare say we're in the minority. And we don't have our finger on the pulse of the church at large. And so that's why it's necessary that we take a little more time and look at the Sabbath, because if the Lord saw it fit, when a certain commandment was being disregarded and broken, that He saw it fit to charge His prophets to make such declarations and to stand at the gate of Jerusalem, the headquarters as it were, and to declare these things to people and princes alike, then certainly it's time for us to do the same. As Luther said, if we don't address the very place where our faith is attacked and where there's a weak spot, then what are we engaging in? And if we just go to where we're winning and we say, oh, look how well we're doing, look how well we're doing on this front. And we want everyone to look at this front of the struggle. And over here, where the enemy is getting in and weakening us, we don't want anyone to take note of that. We don't want to touch that. Luther said that's absolute foolishness. Absolute foolishness. We have to address the weak area. And so we have to address the Sabbath day. And as I said, the challenge for us is that we have this tendency to naturally not focus on things that we are weak in. So those areas that we might not be as we should be, we tend not to want to look at them. Let's look at the doctrines of grace. Let's look at the Reformed doctrines. Let's look at, you know, the struggles that we had in the past. Let's look at the confessions. Let's look at those things that we're doing well in. But these other areas, we don't look at those. So, for example, if I said to you, you know, in terms of the seventh command, and, you know, we look at that, and we lament the fact that, you know, marriage isn't held in such high esteem these days, and we lament the fact that there's divorce and all kinds of things in the church. And then we lament the fact that that young people, not only young people, by the way, but adults too, don't even keep sexuality within the bounds of marriage. And children out of wedlock and all of these things in terms of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, you know, that's terrible, terrible. And anyone that says to us, oh, the church is really good at that. We don't break that. We really got it. And we would say, no, it's not. No, it's not. We need to stress those things. We need to warn our young people. We need to warn people that are married to be faithful and to guard their marriages. And we say, no, we have to do those things. We have to do those things. Or, for example, killing, for example, thou shalt not kill. We're very adamant about the fact that the world, in terms of its respect for the sanctity of life, is out the window. And we want to, and we should, and we do raise our voices against those things. So if those commands, when they are weakened, elicit from us a response and of a correction, then why shouldn't it be in the case of the Sabbath? Why should we be silent on the things of the Sabbath if it isn't for the fact that we are not as strong as we ought to be either? And so in looking at it from that point of view, we incriminate ourselves. So that's not a very pleasant feeling. But pleasant or not, we have to address these things. Because if you look in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not just looking, you know, at times I do speak about churches that call themselves churches that are not churches, but that's one thing. But in the churches at large, in terms of conservative, just if you restrict yourself to conservative churches, we see the effects of this weakening of the Sabbath. And so we have to take a very serious look at ourselves, first and foremost, before we can say anything to anybody else, because the Word of God warns us. Take the beam out of your own eye first before you go telling other people that you'll take a speck out of theirs. So we have to ask ourselves, are the words of Isaiah and Jeremiah pertinent to us, in the sense that we need to make changes, we need to be transformed, changed by what they say? Well, the passages certainly make this point, that we need to give the Sabbath our full attention. We need to give the Sabbath our full attention. And that's what is captured by these prophets as God sends them. They were to stand at the gate. They were to challenge. They were to address the princes as well as the people in this regard. And this carrying the burden, by the way, is not just carrying something. It's to do with work. It's to do with work. In fact, Jeremiah stood there and he wouldn't, and Nehemiah did the same. He went outside of the Jerusalem and the gate, and he stopped the merchants that had to wait for the doors to open, as it were, and they were camping outside, and he stopped them doing that. Because they were not honoring the Lord's day. So how do we give it our full attention? Well, first of all, we have to refrain from working. We have to refrain from working. I mean, nothing could be more clear from this command. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath unto the Lord your God. We're not to work. Not only are we not to work, but we are not to make other people work. We're not to delegate that work to somebody else so that we can have clean hands. I mean, that's utter nonsense. Absolute nonsense. We are not to work. We're not to make our children work. We're not to make our servants work. We're not to make our animals work. I mean, some animals you can't switch off, of course. Right? The cows are still going to produce milk, right? But we're certainly not to put a harness on them and start going on our fields, as they used to do, right? But now, of course, we don't. We have our tractors. But we shouldn't be engaging in work. But, of course, what happens is that we start making excuses. And we start making all kinds of exceptions. Now, the Bible does make exceptions, but not for the reasons that you might think. It makes exceptions in regards to acts of mercy and necessity towards the animals and towards people as well. And certainly in terms of the works of ministry. So the priests broke the Sabbath, but it was sanctioned by God. They were to do this service. But other than that, they were to refrain from their work. Sad to say, we can't even establish that comprehensively in the church. What else is there left in the command if we take that away? No, we're to refrain. And Jeremiah puts it, in detail. We're not to carry burdens in. We're not to carry things out in order to do business, in order to engage in work. We're not to do that. Why? Well, because if you're taken up with work, your mind isn't on worshiping the Lord. And worshiping the Lord isn't an activity that you can do while you're engaged in something else. It's an insult to God. I mean, we get offended if somebody's talking to us and doing something else. People get offended when somebody comes up to the counter and they're on their phone. We think, get off the phone. What an insult. Well, what insult is there to God when we, on His day, we engage in other things and say, oh yeah, but we're worshiping God today. Everything that I do, I worship God. Really? No, we're to stop work. That was the whole point in Exodus. They were to let His people go. That was God's command to Pharaoh. Let my people go. Because while they remain under you, they cannot worship with me because you don't allow them to. You don't allow them to. So let them go. Notice that He didn't say, give them the mornings off so they can go and worship and the rest of the day is fine, you can work. That's not what He said. That's not what He said. Because that's not what the Sabbath is about. The Sabbath isn't about going to God's house and that's it. Otherwise, God could have just said, look, worship me in the morning and evening. That's all. He could have said that. But that's not what he said. That's not what he said. He set aside a day, the Sabbath day. And so we're to refrain. We're to put all of our minds and hearts into worshiping God. You know, those words were a joy and a blessing to the Israelites that were under this bondage of the Egyptians. Let my people go. They don't have to work. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. No longer under the burden and the whip of the Egyptians, that they could worship God in freedom. How is it that those words have become a burden? How is it that those words have become a burden to us? God says, put those burdens aside and worship me. And we say, the burdens? Put them aside? I really want them. Why? Why? It would have been utterly unimaginable for the Israelites to say, Lord, you know, do we have to go? We like these taskmasters so much. No. It was wonderful words for them to hear. And God still is issuing those words. Refrain from all of your labor. People of God, I know it's difficult. The world is going to make it difficult. The world is always going to make it difficult for us. But you know, there are other people that have other views, and yet they are faithful, even though it's not the true God. They're faithful to those things. There are people that give up all kinds of things. There are people that think that they should worship on Saturdays. It's not easy to work on to start work on Saturdays, because it's a very commercialized day. That's when you make a lot of profits if you're in certain businesses. But they don't work on that day. And they have it wrong. And yet they're still committed. We have it right. And yet there's so many that just let it go. Now we're to refrain from our work. And we're to refrain from our pleasure. There's another thing. We're to refrain from our pleasure. That's what the prophets say. We're not saying that the work in which you're engaged is evil, nor are we saying that the pleasure that you may be engaged in is wrong and evil or anything like that. No, not at all. But the Lord is saying, refrain from your pleasure. Because the Sabbath, we're to enter into the delight of what God has accomplished for us. We're to enthrall ourselves. We're to encourage and strengthen ourselves by looking at what God has provided for us. This Sabbath rest that He has fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what can give us more pleasure than to dwell upon what God has accomplished for us in the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it that we say, you know, that's boring in comparison to this? No, we're to refrain from our own pleasure. Because the pleasure that God has brought us into through the ministry of His Son, far excels anything that you're going to be preoccupied with. Anything that you say, oh, it makes me so happy. It makes me so restful. It just takes the stress out of my life. People of God, what is going to do that more than the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings that God promises to His people and the constant care and attention that God directs toward us from himself every moment of every day. And the way he works everything out, the way that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and protects us. I mean, what is it that doesn't fill our hearts and minds with peace and comfort and assurance than that? If anything removes stress, it's that. It's that. But we'll never get to that if we can't put our pleasures down. As I said, not that they're evil. We're not saying that. But if they occupy our time and our mind and our attention, we'll never get to looking at these wonderful blessings of God for us. The very things that you and I need as we face the struggles and the burdens of life week by week. The things that discourage us, the things that fill us with worry, and the way that the devil spins so many scenarios about so many things in order to disturb our peace. We're faced with those things every day. Discouragements on the outside and inside. And it's that constant coming back, regular coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ and to all that God has accomplished for us in the Sabbath. The rest that floods into our lives. The freedom that God has for us. Because he has said to the devil, let my people go. We'll never get to that if we don't give it our full attention. If we don't cease from our labors. If we don't cease from our pleasures. And focus all of our attention and expectation and anticipation toward God. And just to dwell upon it. I can't go into details of what each person should do. And even though we're going to look at that next week in terms of activities on the Sabbath, but it's certainly not going to be a list of do's and don'ts. I mean, that's an endless job. But certainly, we need to reflect in our minds and work out how is it that I can focus on these things. What activities, what can I do, and what can I think about that will bring these blessings to me on the Sabbath day? Not only in the services, but also outside the services. So it doesn't become a few hours, but the whole day as God intended. We have yet, it seems to me, we have yet to tap in to the pleasures, the blessings that God intends for us on this earth. Reformed as we are, and wonderfully instructed in those doctrines as we are, I would say, we still have quite a ways to go in experiencing the wonderful blessings with the Sabbath. And so we need to work on that. We want to receive all of them. And so what does it say? We're to glory in the Sabbath. The prophet tells us that we have to learn to delight in the Sabbath. And so that's the question that you and I, we can reflect upon together, but it's something that you and I have to think about individually. How is it that I can take delight in the Sabbath? Can I honestly say in my heart that the Sabbath day is the best day of the week? And if not, my question is, why not? Why not? What other day and what other activities do you engage in that give you more pleasure than on the Sabbath? There's something wrong. There's something wrong in the way that we look at it. Something wrong in the way that we think about the Sabbath, if that is the case. So there's work for us to do. There's certainly a delight in it. It's certainly precious. The Bible makes that very clear. It is very important. The Lord makes it clear in what he says. But we have to inquire more into it. We have to look at our conduct and the things that we do and ask, does this contribute to me calling the Sabbath a delight, or does it detract from that? And what is it that I can change? And we also so easily say we ought to be, we're reformed and reforming. My question is, exactly what area are you reforming in? I mean, that's true. The slogan is true. But what area are you working in? Well, here's an area, certainly, that we would do well to work at. To delight ourselves in the Lord. In the Sabbath. To dwell and think about that rest. To think about the creation. To think about God's redemption. To think about what God is doing and the rest that is coming in its fullness when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. All of those things are wrapped up in the Sabbath. And we want to take in every ounce of that delight. And we need to keep it holy. It means we need to set it apart. It means that we have to devote it for a certain end, for a certain goal and task. We need to be jealous about that. We need to be guarding that and guarding against the devil and the world infringing upon it and entering it and detracting us from it and robbing us of it. I dare say no one is unaware, as I said earlier, that the world would claim that they have won the war on the Sabbath. They've won that ground. They've established it as and just another day. And shops can remain open and they're not going to make a loss. I mean, that was a threat before. You're going to open, no one's going to come, no one wants to go shopping on the Sabbath, and so you're going to make a loss. And in the long run, you're going to shut anything. It's no use playing sports. No one's going to come and watch. People are more have allegiance to the churches. And this group of people are not going to come. You're going to make a loss. You're going to make a loss. And for a long time, those people listened to that. But then, they called our bluff. They did it. Maybe the first year things didn't turn out so great. But very quickly, they saw that they were winning. And now they don't care. Now they don't care. By the way, that was one of the ways that the Romans try to break down barriers between people through sports. And they haven't lost that technique, and they continue to do so now. So we need to set it aside. We need to keep it as holy. Sometimes we do that with our marriages, right? We want a certain time to ourselves, and we have to jealously guard it. People talk about date night or whatever, but something that focuses on the marriage and the relationship there. And if we don't jealously guard it, we'll never have anything. So if on those relationships we see the need to take certain precautionary steps, why not on the Sabbath that the world has attacked in full force and to a certain extent tout that victory? No, for us, it needs to be holy. It needs to be kept for God and for adoring and blessing Him. He has done so much for us. He has done so much for us. He is worthy of one day in seven. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. He's worthy of our attention. It's we that are blessed by taking a day in which we can gaze upon Him and with God's people and the help through the means of grace, that it can heighten our experience of Him and His blessings. People of God, it's an untapped resource. that we need to continue to work on. And we need to honor the Lord. We need to honor His day. That's the way the Lord took the actions of the people. That's the way He interpreted the flouting of the Lord's day. That's the way He saw it. That's why He reacted that He did. It was a dishonoring of Him. And He was going to kindle a flame that would never be quenched. This is something that God doesn't get over. It's not something where God shouts at us and then feels good because He's vented His anger out and now He carries on. No, no, no. This is something He never can tolerate. Never can tolerate. The flame that will not be quenched. No, no, no. We need to take seriously what God is doing. And positively, what can we do on this day? Well, as I've said, we need to show our gratitude. Take up these things that God has accomplished and rejoice in them. Derive from them the blessings and the peace and the assurance that God wants us to have. And go over them in your mind. Look at them from the top and the bottom and the side. Begin to look at them closely. You know, people go to the art museums and they look and they sit and they look and they sit and you think, what are you doing? Haven't you seen it yet? But for them, there's so much to see. There's so much to think about and to admire. I mean, beyond me, I can't see that. I just see a picture. That's what I see. But the experts, when they know those things, they sit and they look at all of these things. Good for them. I mean, good for them. But I'm saying, when you look at the gospel, can we have such a fleeting look and move on? That's the way it seems to be. Let's rush to church, get it over quickly, don't say too much, let's get out, we've got other things to do. I'm saying, really? Really? We look forward to the day that we'll gaze on Him and gaze on Him and gaze on Him. Because the Lamb is all the glory. And we'll never tire. It'll never get old. I don't know. Maybe you think about eternity. You think, what are we going to do? Thousands and thousands of years. I mean, are we going to get tired of it? If the Lord wasn't there, yes. And very quickly. But with the Lord, it is pleasures forevermore. That's the way the Psalms speak about it. So just entering into the joy of our salvation, the blessings that it surrounds our lives with day by day. But also the Lord promises things to us. Not as a bribe. Not as a bribe. He says, if you heed what I say, if you do the things that I'm telling you to do, then kings and princes are going to come through these gates and the people too. And they're going to come as people that are blessed, people that are full of joy of salvation, people that come with hearts that are filled with gratitude to worship in Jerusalem. That's what it's going to be. Jerusalem is going to remain. It's going to be the center of worship to God from a grateful people, a people that are blessed day by day. That's what it's going to be. Why? Because you've tapped in to this wonderful grace that God has provided for us through His Son. People, I don't know what the future holds in terms of the church, in terms of conditions. We know generally, of course, what it is. And that is that there will be continued hostility towards the church and that Satan will up the ante, as it were, in terms of persecution. But I can assure you this, that if we are faithful in following the Lord and calling the Sabbath a delight, we will have everything that we need to stand firm. We will have everything that we need to gain the victory. we will be more than conquerors. Because what God provides for us will be more than enough in terms of the opposition that we face. We will receive prosperity from the Lord. Not to sit back and relax and do nothing. No, no, no. Prosperity. So that we might have fullness of joy in our hearts, even though we face all kinds of opposition. And the best of all is that we'll have continued union and peace with God. We'll have continued access to God. They will come to Jerusalem. Why? To worship the Lord. But when you disregard the Sabbath, and when you disregard the Lord by doing that, then we have nothing. Then really we have a temple that is just a building. There's nothing there, as the Lord Jesus Christ pointed out in the New Testament and enacted out so that they could understand what was coming. You made it a den of thieves. There's no substance here whatsoever, as it was in Isaiah's day. Your heart isn't in it. You're just doing it out of custom. That when we do it because we understand what the Lord has done, well, then we have the joy of fellowship with God. People like the prophets wanted to know God's name. They wanted him to reveal himself to them. People of God, we have had that given to us in the fullest way than anybody else before in the Lord Jesus Christ. By having this access to God. And it's a foretaste of things to come. But we have it now. We have it now. That's what we need to take a taste of. So that it fills us with confidence and strength for the rest of the week as it faces us with all of its struggles and with all of its trials. People of God, the Sabbath is not a burden. The Sabbath is not a burden. As they say, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. It was made for you. It was made for me. It was a gift of God. Let us enjoy it. Let us treasure it. Let us sap it of all of its blessings that it holds for us day by day. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for this wonderful day that you've granted to us. And our Father, if by chance we have not feasted upon you, if we have been distracted in so many different directions, we pray that you would forgive us for that. For we truly love you and truly value all that you have done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings that you bestow upon us day by day. And our Father in heaven, we pray that you would help each and every one of us. We don't want to think of anybody else and point fingers, but for ourselves, we pray that you would not let these words be taken from us, but rather that they may be like seeds that continue to grow and continue to lead us to love you, to love your day, and to honor you in all that we do day by day. Father, we ask that you would bless this Sabbath to us and bless us in this week that we might honor you. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. Let us stand and respond.